Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. Steve Cochran rolls in at 5. We get to hang with him as well. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You can send your text to 24720, and you can follow us at facebook.com/NickDShow. So the Brown Paper Box Company has a production of A New Brain, which is playing at the Rivendell Theater at 5779 North Ridge in Chicago. Brownpaperbox.org for tickets, and we're going to get more information from. We have the director, M. William Panic, and one of the stars, Jillian Weingart, are here live in studio. Hi, guys.
Hey, Nick. Good morning.
Hello.
Thanks for coming down. I appreciate it. It's late.
Thank you very much.
And you go by William?
I do, yeah.
Okay, good. I didn't know whether I should call you M. William or M. Or
the pretentious M.
M. No, M. Night Shyamalan. Or,
the William is great.
Okay. All right, William. Welcome. So let's first of all, tell me about Brown Paper Box Company.
Yeah, we've been around since about 2010, early 2010. Started four group of graduates from the University of Illinois, Champaign. We're all local kids who came back to Chicago after graduating, 2007, roughly. Mm-hmm. And we were working, doing our own thing, and wherever after graduating, and we realized we were missing something in Chicago. We were seeing that companies were doing big, lavish productions of shows that we all know, and they were kind of looking all the same. So we were like, well, let's bite the bullet and let's do our own thing and put our own stamp on it. So the Brown Paper Box Company really tries to focus on stripping down the glitz and overproduction of productions and really getting down to the script and focusing on what those playwrights have written.
So it's pretty minimal when you,
yes,
when you all your productions are pretty minimal?
Uh-huh. For the most part, yeah.
And so 2010, you guys, now I understand that you guys actually, is the show that put you guys on the map Reefer Madness?
Yes, and Jillian was in our very first production of that.
I was.
Yeah, you know, that was the show that put my theater company on the map.
Oh, yeah.
The Factory Theater. I was with the Factory Theater for many years, and I was AD for a long time. And Reefer Madness back in 1992 was one of the first shows that the Factory did when they had a space up in Rogers Park.
That's great. Yeah, we did the musical.
This was not a musical. This was sort of a really campy straight adaptation of the movie.
The movie ones are great.
Yeah. So, but what was it like working on that? That was your first show with the company?
That was my first show with the company. It was also my first production outside of college. It was my first.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's fun.
I did a little burlesque dancing on the side. That was actually my first thing out of college, believe it or not.
Good for you.
Yeah. but then I got cast in Reefer Madness, and I got my first like theater paycheck out of college, and it was, I think I sat in my bed and like cried when I got that. Like it was so, I was like, I think I was on the phone with you, like, oh my God, thank you so much.
Well, that was that show we wanted, that was our first show. We were nobodies. Nobody knew.
Did you do it at the Viaduct?
We did.
Yes.
Yeah.
No one knew who we were. We were nobodies. And that's the show that I directed at the University of Illinois in our small little black box.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a show that we knew was great and funny and would have maybe a built-in audience that if you don't know us, but hey, they're doing Reefer Madness for two weekends, maybe come see it.
Yeah, it's like the Rocky Horror Show.
Yeah,
like.
So we put our eggs in this one basket of like trusting in the show.
Yeah.
And the people came out and the relationships, I don't know what happened. I don't know who to blame. But some of the relationships we formed, like with Jillian and with some of our other actors in that show, have stayed with us, and they've become artistic associates with us. And they just we bring them back, and I'm clutching my pearls now. But I'm extremely grateful for all that.
It started out as four people.
Yeah.
How many are part of the group now? It's been over 4 years.
The artistic associates were about at 12 or so.
Wow, that's great.
With staff and artistic associates.
That's great. Yeah. Do you guys have a home base?
Our apartments.
That's what I thought.
we roam. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that's difficult about not having like your own space.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you guys deal with that on a pretty regular basis. Yeah. But you know, for a while, I mean, the Factory, we were in Rogers Park for many years, and then now the Factory does shows out of the Prop Theater on Elston.
Yes.
And so it's so much nicer to have a home. You know what I mean? Like to have a space. It's just such a pain in the ass to try and find a place.
Yep.
And, you know, the prices vary and the people, you know, availability is a pain. And sometimes you're dealing with jerks, you know.
It's really tough. We've done six or seven major productions. We've bounced around. They've all been different. We've gone back to one place once. And a lot of it is dealing with those people. Our managing director, Anna Schutz, is in charge of booking all the spaces and all this, and she's amazing. She's amazing at it. But it's location that we want to try different audiences, but it's also we want to work with people who are great And it's hard to find someone who wants to dedicate themselves to the rental people and not just everything else.
Right. Well, now the Rivendell is 57, almost 5,800 north, so that's almost Rogers Park.
Almost, yeah. It's south. It's the north end of Andersonville, south side of Edgewater.
That's right. And what's it like working over there? They're on Ridge.
And they're wonderful. Yeah. They're on Ridge.
Well, you guys are actually right by the White Castle.
Right by the White Castle. Right by the White Castle.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I know that. Right, yeah. So that's Andersonville. That's Edgewater. Yeah. That's Edgewater.
It's cusping there. Yeah. It's wonderful. They're great, too. It's a new space, so they love it. They're taking care of it.
And there's free parking.
There's free parking.
You have to love that. You have to love that.
High school offers free parking, which is wonderful. It's right off the Red Line.
It's a great location.
Kind of landlocked.
A little south of there is free.
Jillian is pushing the free parking, everybody.
So if you come see the show, there's free parking.
Yes, there's free parking. Well, tell me about the play, A New Brain, and you know, and it's a musical.
Yeah, we're doing. It's William Finn. He wrote. He won his Tony for Falsettos when it was on Broadway. His show, the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, also won a Tony. His book writer, Rachel, won a Tony for that. New Brain was written in between those two shows. He had an AVM in his brain. And
what is an AVM, William?
Thank you. Thank you for asking that, Jillian.
Do you remember all of them? Ultra Venus malformation in his brain. Mm-hmm. So blood clots, and it's kind of burst in his head. So very high risk, could have died. So while he was in the hospital, he was afraid that all these songs that he didn't write yet were locked in there and he wasn't able to share them with everybody.
Right.
So him and his collaborator, James Lapine, Pulitzer Prize winning James Lapine from Sunday in the Park with George.
Yeah.
They worked together on Falsettos. He started putting out of this show about creating art and creating life and what happens if tomorrow you're done and you have very little left behind.
So it's autobiographical.
He throws the word semi in front of that.
Oh, semi.
But it's pretty factual.
Okay.
Especially between the relationship between the writer character, his mother, and then his partner.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we want to get more. I want to talk to Jillian about what you do in the show and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You're the director and all that good stuff. That's what we'll be talking about. The show is called A New Brain. Closing weekend, Thursday through Saturday, 7:30, Sunday at 2. At the Rivendell Theater on Ridge. You can check out brownpaperbox.org for tickets, and we'll give more details coming up right here. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here. We're live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower, and we are here until 5 a.m. My guests are director M. William Panic and star Jillian Weingart, who are here. I'm pronouncing your name correctly, right?
It's Jillian Weingart.
Gart?
Yes.
Jillian Weingart. Okay, Jillian Weingart. Sorry about that. You should have slapped me across the face.
I just feel really cool with this microphone, so I really don't care. You can call me anything.
I can call you anything. Okay, I'll keep that in mind. And they are part of a show called A New Brain, which is put up by the Brown Paper Box Company. And they're at Rivendell Theater through this weekend. And you can get your tickets at brownpaperbox.org. You were telling us about the story. Mm-hmm. Jillian, tell me about who you play and what else you do in the show. You sing some songs?
Well, it's all music.
It's a flat-out musical. Right,
yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I play Gordon, who the main character. I play his agent/friend. My character's name is Rhoda. And she is with him through the entire experience of him going through this AVM that he has. And she's his support system, but kind of aloof at the same time. She's like, okay, this is great. You might die, but you should probably do your work at the same time. Mm-hmm. So some people might call her a little cold and aloof, but she's not.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you feel about the role?
I love it. We actually, my college did it. I wasn't in it, but my college did it. And the girl who played Rhoda when I did it was like the best singer in our college. And so when William asked me to come in for the role, I was like, oh my God, I don't know if I can do this. Like, it's so scary. But I think I kind of rock it.
She's very right.
Uh-huh. Very humble, Jillian. That's nice. That's very nice. That's cool.
Gotta be.
That's great. All right. And what drew you to this material?
I was a big dork. My director's note was cut from the program recently, but my staff yelled at me, so we have an insert. I had this weird. I fell in love with the show. It came out in 1998, and I was a wee freshman in high school. And I just fell in love with the show.
You made me feel really old.
I'm sorry. Well, it came out and it had these, I had just started getting into, I'm like, oh, I think I want to do theater, whatever that meant as as that young kid. I want to do this. And this show comes out. I'm like, oh, he wrote falsettos. And I kind of knew about that. And that had gay characters in it. I'm like, what the hell? And then New Brain comes out. And there's this loving relationship between the two guys in the show. And I was like, oh, musicals can be about this? Which seems silly now. Like,
yeah, sure.
Musicals are mostly about that. But as that kid, as that little kid at Loyola Academy up north, I'm like, oh, this is what a musical can be. This is what it can be. And I fell in love with it. And as Jillian said, when people ask me how the music is, I'm like, well, it's a musical, but it's like an operetta because it's all sung through and they maybe have like four lines throughout the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very just musical number after musical number after book song, story song.
Now, is the music pre-recorded or do you have a live?
We are our giant band that consists of two keyboards. And they're wonderful.
It's a keyboard and a synth.
Yeah, our musical director plays synth, and our assistant and musical director plays piano one, and it's just the two of them rocking
now,
it out.
Now, you said that you strip everything down and make it as minimal as possible. Yeah. Does that include, do you wear costumes? Are there costume changes and things like that?
Yes. Yeah, so there's...
And props and things?
Yeah, so in the musical, there's actually like a hospital staff. There's nurses and doctors and stuff, and you know they're wearing like the nurse's uniform and everything. But most of the uniforms come from... like my wardrobe or something.
Sure. Costumes, yeah. The nurse's scrubs, the doctor's stuff. My mom sews. She has crazy embroidery machines, so we were able to embroider some stuff. But we do ask the cast, especially for costuming, for right now with the brown paper boxes.
Yeah.
A lot of it comes from personal stuff and stuff that we have to buy. We buy.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
The money
about,
goes into the sets and the people. We always, as Jillian said when she was crying on her bed, even back in 2010, we vowed we would always pay our performers. Because it's the time they give us is unmeasurable, and if you were to look at what they get, as you know,
well, you know the thing is, what people don't realize is that you know, like storefront theater, almost all the people who do storefront theater have a full time gig outside of that, and so when you're rehearsing and you rehearse four nights a week, five nights a week sometimes. People don't understand that you've worked from like 8 o'clock till like 6 o'clock at night, and then you have to rush your ass to rehearsal.
Yeah. Right.
And rehearse until 10 or 11 o'clock.
No, my boyfriend was noticing the last month or so. It's like, oh, your 17-hour days are catching up with you. I'm like, oh, they are. They always do. And the rewards this past 2 weeks have been fantastic.
Well, that's the thing about it. Some people think we're nuts, people who have done this in the past. Like, why would you do this? Why would you do storefront theater? Because we weren't getting paid.
No. Right.
And I'm not taking a salary home from that. So I would work and then go to these rehearsals and everything. And you just do it because you love doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's that simple. It sounds, people, unless you've done it people don't understand it. Yeah, they don't understand it.
They don't.
Yeah. You know, this is a very, and there's nothing wrong with this. I'm a capitalist as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to make money. I want to do that. But when you have like a logical capitalist sitting in front of you and you go, yeah, I just worked on this show for 40 days straight. Mm-hmm. And, well, how much did you make? Nothing.
Nothing.
You're an idiot. You know what I mean? Like, you're a complete idiot. But it's just, there's no explanation for it.
When those 17 hours came up, and he's like, why do you do it? And she's like, why do you do it? And I'm like, that is scary. Why do I do it? And I took a day and I was like, I need to create. And that sounds so like, I scoff when I say that, when I say it out loud. But I'm like, no, that's something I need. And I can't explain that either.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
And it's so crazy because I've never questioned it. But now that I'm looking, I'm like, why haven't I questioned that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I work countless hours at a restaurant just to be able to do what I love, but I don't...
Yeah. And by the way, you work at a great restaurant. You told me off the air.
I work at a great restaurant.
A great
Everyone
restaurant.
Everyone go.
Tell everybody what the birth
rate
is.
I work at Belly Q on the corner of Ogden and Randolph.
It's so good.
Chef Bill Kim is amazing.
He is. And I've had him on the show a couple times. And
he's awesome.
He's brought me spare ribs aplenty. And I just sat... I couldn't even talk into the microphone. I was just... So, you work those kind of, especially if you're working if you're working in the service industry, and you're working in a restaurant, that's a pain in the ass. I mean, that could really eat up a lot of time.
And, your heart and your life and everything. And
with something like that, though, I'm assuming it's a little more flexible for like if you need to get off for rehearsals or things like performances and stuff like
it's
that.
It's great. I mean, I also am very, very lucky that I helped open the restaurant. And so I'm one of the people that's been working there the longest.
Yeah.
So I get first dibs on everything, which is amazing. But, I also have to supplement my income because I do so much theater. I mean, I've been back from California for almost 2 years. I took a year off, but I've been doing theater for a year straight. And I have really great people that support me. I just got signed. Not just signed. God, I've been with Shirley Hamilton, I think, for like 6 months.
Oh, wow.
But like...
Good for you, man.
Yeah. I've been just at it. And I mean, I do promo modeling with Productions Plus to do other things on the weekends if the restaurant hours don't work. So sometimes it's doing like three or four jobs just so I can do theater at night. But
yeah. Again, you're nuts.
I'm nuts. I'm completely nuts. But like ever around me ever questions it. They're not like, why are you doing this? Some days you're working really long. I'm like, because I surround myself with artistic people and stuff. So
yeah.
But now that I'm thinking about it, it's like, oh gosh, my taxes suck.
You're gonna be all quiet on the way home.
Like, what am I doing?
We got a couple of texts here. If anybody wants to send a text, it's 24/7/20. 847 area code says, "You guys already know this. A New Brain is a great musical, and I think Kristen Chenoweth got her start.
She sure did.
She played Nancy D.
Yeah.
And the nice nurse.
The waitress. Yeah, we have a dual, one of our characters plays two roles, so we have 11 characters, 10 actors. And Kristen did this. It was off-Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And then went on to do Steel Pier, which kind of bombed. And then she got Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
And
then
became huge.
And then became what she is now. And 773 area code says, I was reading the Q&A with Jillian on the Brown Papers website.
Ooh.
And it says that her special talent is that she will eat a pizza of any size at any time. Is there a story behind that?
I don't know why I love pizza so much. I don't know where it came about. It definitely was sometime in college, literally just sitting around eating pizza. And now I've become like this pizza connoisseur. And I literally went on a road trip with my boyfriend this time last year, just trying like going to all these amazing restaurants. So pizza turned into like a love for food. And I work for Chef Bill Kim.
Yeah.
But I always go back to like loving pizza and finding like the best pizzas ever.
Where are you from?
I'm from Chicago.
Oh, you are? Okay, yeah. So then you know pizza.
Pizza, yes.
Okay. I was going to say, if you're from California, you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
No. I just lived there for a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I love pizza so much, but I think it's the perfect food.
Well, it is.
It literally is.
I've lived here my whole life. I grew up, in fact, blocks away from Wrigley Field. And I'm a thin crust guy.
I am totally thin crust.
And, you know, I'll take a deep dish. It's fine if it's Lou Malnati's.
It's fine.
It's fine. Yep. I don't think that you should eat pizza with silverware. That just shouldn't happen.
It's okay. Then it's different. So even in Philly, they have a form of deep dish pizza in Philadelphia, but they just don't put cheese on it. It's just literally like deep crust pizza, like the crust with like this awesome tomato sauce on it. And it's called a pie.
Yeah.
That's what deep dish pizza is. My favorite style pizza is big, fat, New York style. Like, have to, like...
Fold it
to put it in your mouth. I love it.
I can't do it.
I even, like,
can't do it. It's got to be square cut as God intended. It's thin.
Square cut is good, too.
Thin crust, square cut as God intended. Those middle pieces with the no crust and the...
You're
bringing me back Northwest Side, where I grew up. And
yeah,
I'm like,
where'd you grow up?
Lawrence and Cumberland, Northwest Side.
Oh,
Cumberland,
sure.
Blue Line.
Yeah. I know that area very, very well. I went to high school at Luther North, which is like...
Really?
Not very far from there.
No.
But yeah, Northwest Side pizza... Yeah, you ever order from Al's, Irving and Narragansett?
No, a little too far from where I was. Yeah,
good pizza, man.
My favorite pizza place closed down.
Which one was that?
Chili Max.
Chili Max.
Chili Max.
Hold on a second.
Chili.
It's your favorite pizza place, and it's called
and
Chili.
They were known for chili. I don't think they ever made chili. I think they.
Where
just
was
made
this
pizza.
Place?
It was
Broadway and Barry-ish.
Oh, and I know that place.
Yeah. It's around now there. Like a Jersey Mike's or
no,
something.
No, I know. I think it is a Jersey Mike's now,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yep.
Wow. I never ate there, but I've been past there.
It was square cut pizza.
Of course it was.
But one, they had a really good deal on like a cheese small pizza. It was like $6. It was something ridiculous. But it was like their cheese, and then if you put a little bit of like Frank's Red Hot on it, it was like the perfect piece of pizza.
All right.
It was greasy. It was
all
fantastic.
Right. My favorite pizza, and I encourage anybody who likes thin crust pizza, is John's Pizzeria on Western. It's about 2100 North on Western. So mm-hmm. It's near Augusta.
Yeah.
It's not very far from Margie's candy shop right
yes.
there. You go down Western a little bit further north. It is the best pizza in the city. It's unbelievable square cut pizza. The place is old school.
Is it
you walk
school?
In, there's a counter.
I love it.
There is, they have the red and white checkered plastic tablecloths.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There is a jukebox with actual 45s on it, and it's Jerry Vail, Frank Sinatra.
Before we go out.
I'm telling you right now. And the thin crust, every time I order a pizza, they don't deliver to my area because I live too far away from there. But when I was dating a girl and she lived not too far away, we used to order from there all the time. Yeah. And every time we would order the pizza, we would eat more than we were even capable of eating.
Oh,
That's how good pizza is.
But that's how you get on the road to eating your own large pizza. It's just eating really, really good pizza.
Is that an aspiration to have? I would one day like to eat an entire large pizza on my own.
If you're on the right road.
If you're on the right road, yes. Anyway, so the show, you guys run on Thursdays, Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30.
That's right.
And 2 o'clock matinee on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this is your closing weekend.
It is, yeah.
And how much are tickets?
Tickets are $25,
mm-hmm.
Cash or credit at the door, credit online, of course. We do offer an industry rate.
Okay.
Every day is industry night.
Performers. Every night we offer industry. At the door, headshot and resume or proof of industry is $15,
mm-hmm.
Cash or credit. But at the door, house opens usually 45 minutes beforehand.
Cool. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk more with you guys.
Awesome.
I'm having fun with you guys. This is great.
Thank you. Me too.
M. William Panic and Jillian Weingart.
Gart,
right?
It's Gart.
That's what I thought. Jillian Wine Pizza.
Oh, Wine
All right,
Pizza.
Wine Pizza. Oh, wow. All right. We'll take a quick break. It's Nick DiGilio on WGN. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here until 5 a.m. We'll be hanging out after 5 with Steve Cochran. My guests in studio are a part of the Brown Paper Box Company, and their current production is A New Brain, which is playing at the Rivendell Theater at 5779 North Ridge in Chicago. You can get your tickets now. It's closing weekend, so get them now. Brownpaperbox.org for tickets. And William and Jillian, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Have you guys ever, you said you went to, Jillian, you were in California for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever taken a show? Have you guys ever taken a show on the road?
Yes.
Yeah?
No.
Well,
What was that for? What was it like? Tell me about the experience of doing that.
When I was in California, we kind of did little mini tours of the show that I was workshopping, and casts change, and sometimes you're only the original person there, and it was an original show too, so it was like literally every, I don't know, a couple of days the script would change and major things would change, and you were getting new people all the time, and I loved it. I liked the experience of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also did some in college. We did the Rocky Horror Show, and I played Janet for two different productions of it. And we liked the first production so much that we did it under another theater's name, but basically the same cast, and did it in like this old haunted church.
Where?
In Macomb, Illinois.
In Macomb, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we took it to Galesburg, I think it was Galesburg, in this old crazy church with these removable windows that people used to do like confessions out of, and we would move them and like hide behind them. It was, and then in college I was rehearsing a show, and then I was also doing the show on top of it. So I was going from class to like eating dinner to going to rehearsal, and then going to another Rocky rehearsal after that to like 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh man.
And just to like put this show up in Galesburg, it was
tiring,
but I just remember having probably way too much fun.
Yeah. And you spent a lot of time in a bra then if you played Janet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A bright pink bra. If you actually like YouTube my name, Jillian Weingart, I have this ridiculous amount of hits for Touch a Touch a Touch Me.
Oh, I bet you do.
Almost a half a million hits.
Yeah. I have no doubt in my mind that you do. I have no doubt in my mind. Seeing you in the studio right now, I have no doubt in my mind.
It's a ridiculous amount of hits.
Well,
I'm almost
now you've told me about it, so there's going to get one more hit later on tonight. I can tell you that. it's interesting that you talk about working on original stuff. That's what the factory does, and there's an amazing challenge in that, because it's not something that you can get a house for,
right?
Yeah. And it's also incredibly rewarding because it is original,
yeah.
Right?
And that's one of the things we did. I adapted High Fidelity to the stage, and we called it the Vinyl Shop. This was before Cusack did it. By the way.
And a huge Broadway hit.
We had a huge hit with it here in Chicago, and we were nominated for all kinds of Jeffs and all that crap. But we took it out, which when I asked you guys about doing that, we took it to the Fringe Festival in New York.
Oh, yeah.
And we did 3 weeks out there. And it was one of the best experiences that I've ever had. It was hard work. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was weird to try to get people to show up to this thing.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, at a place we've never been. We were on the Lower East Side of New York. But that experience of traveling with a show and things like that. There's something really, you really get to know everybody. You become a family at that point.
Right.
Yeah, we try to, we put our feelers out to get the audience for new shows, like you said.
It is
tough. We did one. We did a world premiere about a year and a half ago in Rogers Park at Boho Space.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called Two Tree. And Aaron Golden wrote it, who wrote, he's a great new playwright. He's a playwright, he's a screenwriter in New York, LA. You know, getting those two confused.
Yeah.
He's in LA now. But we did the show. It was two guys, and it was just me and these two actors working together. And it was a great little house. And, you know, two actors, it's hard to get an audience. It's hard to get people in. But that show ended up selling pretty well, too. And it was very surprising. And just me working with two guys in a straight play with no intermission for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
It ended up being really rewarding. And it's one of the shows that could have gone somewhere because it was so small. But We don't work on a season, so we just work at one at a time and put all our efforts into one. But yeah, the idea of a Fringe Fest is always so rewarding. But we work on so much like existing material so far,
but
moving on to that would be awesome.
It was fun, man. It was a long time ago. This was like in summer of '99. We took it out there, but it was a lot of fun. And in fact, the theater that we did the show in was. Do you guys ever watch Broad City, the new show on Comedy Central?
I love Broad City.
Unbelievably funny.
They had a show tonight. Tomorrow
night. Wednesday nights at 8:30. Yeah.
Oh, it's so
I love these two women. I would marry them in a heartbeat.
I have massive crushes, though.
No, oh, my God.
I should not. I should not.
No, you're
and
gay.
So it should, but what, the, is, but, what is that?
But they Abby? Filmed oh. the last episode uh-huh. where she... Where Ilana like had sex with the really good looking guy who turned out to be the worst improviser in the history of the world. That's the theater we did the vinyl shop in.
I love that.
I was like, wait a minute, that looks like the Crane Theater.
That's so funny.
They cut to the outside and they have a bar above the theater called the KGB bar, and it's Russian themed. And when they did the exterior, the exterior, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's where we did Vinyl Shop.
I know that place.
I love my show, but I haven't been this engaged since we started. I'm like, I love Broad City so much.
Oh, my God, it's so good. All right, listen, we're out of time. You guys have been a blast.
Oh, thank you.
Everybody comes and sees it. You got four more chances to see it Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7:30, Sunday at 2. brownpaperbox.org. The book is called a book. The book. The play is called A New Brain. That actually is the book and the music along with it. Jillian, William, thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Nick, so much.
And break a leg this weekend.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, we will take a break here.